Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matters.
Right now, it's time for your favorite lunchtime doctor, Dr. Safia Mohammed. She's on the inside. Welcome to your lunchtime doctor. We take it down till 1 o'clock. And of course, all your medical questions will be answered. Satisfaction guaranteed, and she never, ever disappoints. Let's say good afternoon. Dr. Safia Mohammed, welcome.
Good afternoon, Bees. Good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago. I am super thrilled to be in studio here to answer your questions. So you know, you've got those numbers already. Here's where we do that deep dive into those medical challenges. We try to analyze what we can and offer the best advice for you to activate, for you to optimize your health. Bees will share those numbers to you. And of course, we encourage you, share with us what's on your lunchtime plate. Let's hear what you've learned from this program, and let's hear what you are sharing with the community, where you are making sure you're taking care of your health.
All right, those numbers, folks, are 627-3223 and 625-2257. Of course, our WhatsApp, 306-1065. Of course, besides here, Freedom 106.5, we're also heard on Sangeet 106.1, Sky 99.5 FM, and Vibe City 105. Feel free to send other stations your questions via WhatsApp, and they will forward to us. What's in the Health Plus today, Doc?
So as we mentioned yesterday, that we continued along this conversation of autism awareness, but taking it one step further, moving to acceptance, moving to removing some of those myths and destigmatizing this medical condition that presents with by our children and parents seem to be confused by. And that's okay if you feel confused, because the research itself has changed over the years. Even the way the sign of autism awareness, that has changed. But today we also want to talk a little bit about, because this month is testicular cancer awareness. So let's pay some attention to our males. Let's make sure you're taking care of your health. There's no question off the table, but we're keeping it clean.
All right, definitely. Let's take a call, our first call for the afternoon. Hello, welcome to your lunchtime, doctor.
Hello and good day, doc. I would like to know B12 injection and the tablet over the counter in the health and in the drugstore. Is it the same thing or it's a big difference? And what I would like to know, is there any urinary test for kidney? I'll listen up here.
Great question. So let's answer the last one first. Yes, there is a urinary test where one can actually look at the amount of proteins. So what that is, it's a very much a frontline, first line test, and it's called a dipstick urine analysis. However, it is not as accurate as a blood test for your kidney function, or if we need to go one layer deeper, as in the ultrasound. What you asked about those medications over the counter, again, it depends on if it's recommended by a healthcare professional. There's a host of things that can be over the counter if it's recommended by a medical professional for a specific health condition, then sure, by all means. Sometimes out there are a few things that have a couple question marks on it. So as we continue to recommend here, feel free to do your own personal research when you yourself feel confused or unsure about some of these over-the-counter medications.
All right. Thank you very much, Doc. Let's get another question here. Remember our numbers, folks, 627-3223, 625-2257, and of course, 306-1065 for your WhatsApp questions only. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to the panel. I have three questions for the doctor.
Sure.
One, one of my tooth broke, and I went to the Mount Hope Clinic there, and they told me I have to do oral surgery to remove the piece out of the gum. To be honest with you, I had barely gone to do the surgery. So I want to know, if I refuse to do this surgery, what eventually will happen? Secondly, what I want to find out is, if it is normal for a diabetic sugar to go up and down when they are hungry. And the third question is that I want to find out if Arima General Hospital is a walk-in hospital. Thank you.
Excellent. So let's go. As usual, the last question first, sir. If Arima General Hospital is walking, yes, there is an emergency component to the Arima General Hospital. So, yes, it can be a walk-in. However, keep in mind, it's what we call a tertiary institution, and there should be peripheral health centers close by. With respect to the second question, how does the sugar level of a diabetic go up and down? That tends to happen, as you shared, based on the glycemic index of food. Yes, when you haven't had food as well, the body can go into a place of starvation. And when the body is now feeling a place of being starved, it will start to automatically break down other cells. So that's called ketosis. It breaks down proteins, it breaks down other components to release energy, to release sugar. Remember, all of your cells need sugar to be able to be one of the substrates to survive. In fact, the cells in the brain typically only uses this sugar substrate. So if the body's in a place of starvation, it does this automatic breakdown. So if you do a test at that point in time but you haven't had food, yes, your sugar values will be up. That would explain how it can be up or down. Back to the first question now. This one is a little bit tricky. So the tooth broke and there's part of it, so there's a partial composition of a tooth embedded into your gum. Yes, oral surgery might be the only way to help extract it, because you don't want to damage too much of the surrounding structure. You could lead into something called a periodontal disease. There could be damage or infection of the gums. There could be a host of things, especially nerve damage. And that's why the surgery itself is a lot more controlled in moving out that fragment or that partial piece of the tooth left behind. I know it sounds a little complex, but because it's what was recommended, I'm pretty certain they would have done some x-rays. They would show you where it became embedded, and that would be the most controlled approach. I hope that answers your question.
Mm-hmm. Let's get our first WhatsApp question here. My friend's daughter has eczema. That's when she scratches, she bleeds, her body gets hot, and she only stops when her body cools down. What can she do? She's only 7 years old.
Right. So this eczema, first and foremost, we need to figure out what is the trigger. Sometimes it may be the foods they're eating, right? Mara does as well. Even the dry skin, when the skin itself is dry, it becomes very itchy. Another thing to consider, there's something called contact dermatitis. So let's say someone has a watch on, but they're really allergic to the material of the watch, or they're allergic to the material of whatever they may be wearing. That may trigger an eczema around that area, and that can be quite troublesome. So figure out the trigger and you pretty much will or can prevent the eczema. However, if you want to figure out what to do now as your next steps with treatment, hydration of the skin and hydration of the body. So proper moisturizing. Because she's 7, I want to stay away from all those creams with high intense aromas. Try to keep the creams, the moisturizer, as basic and as neutral to a baby's or a child's skin. There are a couple brands, I wouldn't necessarily mention them, but they are indeed pediatrician recommended for children, and they're available in the pharmacies. Hydrate the skin, hydrate the body. I hope that answers the question.
All right, doctor, what do you recommend for diaper rash?
And that is something, first and foremost, let me let you know, every single parent goes through. Hygiene is crucially important, because you want to make sure there's that quick turnover of removing the diaper, because when the urine stays close to or in contact with the skin, that's when the rash can occur. The other things that we would make sure we want to do, besides from ensuring proper hygiene. And when I say proper hygiene, you want to make sure not just removal of the diaper, but wiping off with water. Sometimes we try to put soap into there. We don't need to be abrasive. Water is good enough in terms of wiping the skin off, wiping off any soiled diapers and the skin. You don't want to be rubbing. You don't want to be chafing, because all of that could spread the normal bacteria on the skin around. What is recommended is crucially we look at, we can either use a topical antibiotic cream if it gets worse, or there's something called your zinc and castor oil creams. And you want to finally just make sure that there isn't, because sometimes children can still have on diapers well after 6, 7, 8 months when they now start to wean or have new foods in. You just want to make sure that it's not because of any allergies from the foods that they're eating. That adjustment period when they shift off from breastfeeding into proper foods, the urine then can be more concentrated. There's a higher protein in the urine, and all of that can precipitate your diaper rash. Hope that answers the question.
I guess it's up to a parent to really, you know, keep up and witness what's really going on.
That's
pay attention.
Right. Pay attention.
Yes. Hi, Doc. How can I? Well, your number or location on air or the otherwise. No, the doctor does not give out her number or location. She said that several times.
But the person probably didn't hear it before. Mm. Believe me, when I certainly can, you will be the first. Every single one of these listeners here will be the first to know it.
All right. 627-3223, 625-2257. And of course, your questions via WhatsApp 306-1065. Of course, we will be speaking about autism.
One more little thing that I did not mention with the diaper rash. Mm-hmm. We talked about hygiene of the baby.
Yes.
Hygiene of the mother or the parent.
Yeah, who's ever taken
care
of
this? Crucially important. Yeah. Hand washing. Mm-hmm. COVID showed us how important that hand washing is.
Yeah.
If there's any sort of remnants or bacteria on the hand, then you can easily transfer that to the baby's skin. Mm-hmm. Remember, baby's skin is super, super sensitive.
Yes. Very much so. So in terms of autism, let's talk about that a little bit. I see you have the signs of the spectrum, the spectrum's color there, where it's less, and then there's very autistic. I remember some years ago, a friend of mine introduced me to her daughter.
Yeah.
Right? And I noticed that it was something strange. There was no eye contact. She was about 2 to 3 years old.
That's right.
There was no eye contact. And how important is it to realize? Because some parents are in denial.
Yeah.
Everybody wants their child to be, you know, this perfect child. And maybe you might tell them something is wrong and they won't really see it. And they wait too long. How important is it to detect autism in a child from early o'clock?
So early intervention is key, mm-hmm. because that's when the brain cells are now, or what we say, the synapses, the connections between each brain cell mm-hmm. is now developing.
Yeah.
What you mentioned there about eye contact, that is one of the typical signs that we see
with
our autistic little ones. They're unable mm-hmm. to form that eye contact. However, to all those who are tuned in, it is an intervention that can be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In fact, earlier up in the newsroom, I was sharing with my little one what I would have had to do from early on. And now it's almost like even at age 11, when he hears me click my fingers and I call out to him and I go eye contact, and I would come down to his level
mm-hmm.
and look at him in his eyes and encourage him to look at me. So I'll click my fingers and I'm like eyes to eyes, eyes to eyes, and use my fingers and encourage that. So it didn't happen once. It didn't happen twice. It happened continuously.
Mm-hmm.
And now when he hears me click my fingers, because even at times he knows that's what it means.
Mm.
That's just one of the signs. There are many other signs that a parent may or may not notice. And to all the parents out there, if you don't notice it, I understand.
Mm.
That denial is key to overcome.
Mm.
And here's why. Because early intervention can also help the mindset, the brain thinking, the processing to be corrected.
Right.
Now, let's just talk about one, two of those signs, because it's so important.
Yes.
In a child's life, there are different developmental milestones.
Mm.
And when we talk about autism, it's a spectrum disorder.
Yeah.
What one child may present with, another child might not.
Mm.
And that's why it's so important for the parents to keep abreast with the pediatric developmental assessment. Even after you finish 1 year, because there tend to be an aggressive amount of follow-up in the first years of baby life. Mm-hmm. But at age two and age three, you still need to keep that follow-up where they're getting the vaccinations and they're being assessed. There's something called your developmental milestones. Mm-hmm. So speech is an important one. Interaction, pincer grip, how they hold, even from a pen to a cube, how they stack cubes. All of these milestones are crucial to note. Mm-hmm. Yes, it tends to present at about age three, but parents really tend to notice when their child is placed in an environment with other children.
Yeah.
So when they start preschool or when they start primary school.
That's too late.
Yes, that's too late, but I still want to reassure all parents. Yeah. Whenever you pick up these symptoms, whenever you something within your gut, you feel like it's off, it's still not too late. Because so long as intervention starts, then there is those opportunities to help allow the child to adjust. But each one of these autistic children are born with extraordinary talents. Where they may not be as surplus in one, they certainly surplus and extra in the others. And it's just up to us as parents to have patience to go through the steps with them. Yes, Trinidad could do a lot better with the resources. That is even my complaint. And believe me, in this lifetime, I certainly, and I've made that pledge out there, to do my best to fix those resources. But it starts first and foremost with awareness, early intervention. Go to the pediatrician and get it checked out.
All right. Question here. Good day, doctor. My daughter is 7 months pregnant. And on Sunday, she felt a lump in her breast. What could this mean? Is that normal?
Right. So first and foremost, let's not worry. That's perfectly normal, especially during pregnancy. The ducts are getting activated. So the alveolar ducts are getting activated. What I would consider not normal, abnormal, or red flag is if there's any pain associated. If you're seeing a change in the color of the skin, or if it goes red, or if that lump feels almost hard, like a stone. Yes, there can be normal lumps that is present in the breast, especially during pregnancy. So don't be alarmed. What she can do is just be a little bit more alert about the symptoms. If any of those additional symptoms present, then go right away to the obstetrician.
All right, let's take a call here. Remember, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, your favorite doctor, Dr. Safiya Mohammed. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. Doctor, I would like to know if it is safe in using brand.
Okay, just to repeat, did you say brand?
Yes. Brand.
I believe you will be talking about the oats and grains brand?
The normal brand that is in the pack.
Okay, so I'm not 100% clear, and I'm really sorry of that. If you're talking about bran, as in the same thing like oats and bran, yes, that is indeed safe to use. It's a good source of fiber. Stay away from those that are packaged with a lot of sugars. So I hope that's it. If you can indeed call back and let us know and give a little bit more clarification, we can give a better answer.
Or maybe you could even text us. Maybe we could be a lot clearer at 306-1065, right? Good afternoon, doctor. Can pain in the body raise your blood pressure?
Definitely. Yes, yes, and double yes. And that's a very important thing to note. Because when someone is in pain and then they check their blood pressures, that can also be elevated. So it's a vicious cycle. High blood pressures can also incur pain on the body, and of course, pain can incur high blood pressure. So we want to make sure that you're managing, if you are indeed hypertensive, not only managing your blood pressure, but managing the pain, any sort of pain associated with whatever actions that's happening.
All right, let's take a call here at 627-3223, Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5, Sangeet 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Hello, good afternoon. Turn your radio down, please. Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, because the last the person, what was calling there, and it is the wheat bran I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The wheat bran.
Right. So certainly, that's something we consider healthy. It has a host of different nutritional facts to it. And we want to make sure that, of course, you just have it in moderation. Stay away from the overly sugar versions of it, because there are the wheat bran that comes prepackaged with just a little bit too much sugar. Stay to the ones that are as natural as possible.
Okay. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
All right. Good afternoon, Doctor. I'm currently on a course of prednisolone.
Yeah.
Right, for ITP. And my face and body weight has been increasing. Can I do anything to curb the weight gain? Is the weight water weight?
Yeah. So let's kind of deep dive into this. ITP is one of those very rare disorders. And it's actually a platelet disorder. Immune thrombocytopenia, and it is important because steroid is one of the mainstay, prednisolone. So it's like a double-edged sword. You want to fix one, but we want to balance off the side effects of the other. So what most physicians would do is, of course, they look at a staggered prednisolone dosage, and I'm sure you're probably on that as well. No, the weight gain is not water weight. This is just one of the side effects of the usage of prednisolone. But I reassure you, once you've completed that dosage, you will indeed return to, your weight will equilibrate. During the course of being treated for your ITP, during the acute phases, you want to try your best to manage or balance it all off with proper nutrition. Let's try our best to ensure you get some level of exercise, but keep in mind, this is indeed a blood disorder, so if you're engaging in any exercise, it's mild exercise, not physical activity where there's resistance or there is that opportunity to damage yourself. So mild, gentle exercise. The steroid is just one of the medications. I'm sure you're on a few other medications. Once the acute phase is cleared, then you will see that re-equilibration. Hope that answers your question.
Okay, great. We have a voice note here. So it's coming in. There, Doctor, did you mention at the start of the show that this is testosterone cancer week? When will you discuss the medical condition and the symptoms so okay. I can access my recent pains? Thanks.
So yes, we did mention testicular cancer awareness. The entire month as well is designated to that, and because it's actually more common than we think. And here's the thing, to present from as young as age 15. And this is something most persons don't know. How does it present? It may present as a hard lump within the testicular sac itself. And just like we tell women when they are either getting their showers to know and do your breast examination, yes, I'm here to tell our male patients, get to know your body and know if there's something different, especially if there's an additional growth, a lump that feels out of the usual. What are some of the other symptoms that you tend to feel? You can feel an intense amount of pain, but the most common symptom is an extra or a hardened area or a lump within the testicular sac.
Okay, and speaking of testicles, good day, Doctor. I noticed a small lump on my testicles. I did an X-ray. They didn't find anything. I don't get any pain or anything. Should I be worried?
Okay, so an X-ray may not necessarily pick up any additional lumps. What an X-ray does is a radiological investigation that looks at the bony structure. What one would want to look out for, the concerning signs, is indeed, as you mentioned, that lump. But if there's a feeling of heaviness, there may also be this dull aching pain in the groin or in the, what we say, the lower abdomen. There may even be an enlargement or tenderness of the testicular structure. What I would suggest is definitely make sure you get an ultrasound done and it's properly evaluated by a urological consultant. Hope that answers your question.
All right, good day, doctor. Can intermittent fasting raise your blood pressure? What do you think?
Not as far as I'm aware. Intermittent fasting will certainly affect your blood glucose values. If you are indeed, as we talked about earlier on, hitting a ketosis state where the body is really deprived of food, then yes, you may send the body in some sort of like the equilibration is not there. However, there isn't that enough research to support that intermittent fasting will affect your blood pressure. So I'm not overly concerned about that. If you are indeed having increased blood pressure, it may be some other cause. It may be stress. It may be you are also, and here's something that people do, in that quote-unquote diet zone, they actually can put more stress on themselves and affect their cortisol values. So that's why, I think we mentioned this yesterday or sometime last week, that word called diet is not a friend of mine. Switch to healthy lifestyle, healthy living, proper nutrition. Yes, intermittent fasting is one of those ways to lose weight, but try to integrate into a lifestyle that you can adjust to all the time.
Great. All right, good day, doctor. My daughter is 11 years old. What vitamins can you recommend for her to boost her brain pertaining to schoolwork? She's in standard 4 and 130 pounds. That's a parent thinking about SEA next
year. That's right, definitely. So let's get into this brain boosting. No, there isn't really a multivitamin that will do that. However, you can indeed do just at home certain concentration type exercises. Even if it means just taking them 5 minutes away from all the devices, taking them out in nature, sitting them down. And here's how you can do this. You sit them down and you may ask them. Of course, you want to start a proper conversation with them, ask them what they notice, how they feel, and then get very granular. Ask them, list three things you see. Name three sounds you're hearing. Tell me three smells that you may be smelling. And that allows them the opportunity to focus. And that's just one simple brain exercise that you can do with your children. You can even do with your partner. That helps and encouraging a focus on any sort of brain activity. You see, what happens at that age 11, their minds, their thought processes are literally scattered all over the place. Meditation is one that can help them focus that thought process as well. Even journaling, give them the opportunity to speak out some of their thoughts, and you'll see where they have that changes, that adaptation of their brain power increasing without the need of any nutrients.
And once again, folks, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Safiya Mohammed, 627-3223, 625-2257. Our WhatsApp numbers are 306-1065. We're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Vibe City 105, Sky 99.5, and Sangeet 106.1. Let's get another question forwarded to us from our friends at Sangeet. Hi, if someone's their fingernails are white in color, is that okay?
Right. So when you say the fingernails, I'm presuming you're looking at the component that typically supposed to be pink. No, that's not okay. We actually look at fingernails and can assess a number of things in the body. We can assess your anemic state. We can assess your calcium levels. We can assess your metabolic state. So if the entire fingernail is looking white, then that's something, that's a red flag. Get that checked out right away.
All right, let's get a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
A pleasant good afternoon, Doctor. Now, it is no secret that many people in this country are diabetic. And many people, their figures, they're reading 300, 400 regularly. But yet they survive for quite a while. If it is that someone is diabetic and their sugar level is reading under 180, it never crosses that. What are the repercussions with regard to their organs failing? Some people say that ground provisions are too heavy in starch, and as a result, diabetics should minimize the use of it. What is the real thing in it? Because some people believe that using ground provisions, they will lose their weight, and as a result, it will also help them. I thank you, Enjoy.
Excellent questions. You're very correct. I think it's possibly about 75% of our population is either diabetic or pre-diabetic. The last numbers, however, by the Ministry of Health said 51%. However, there are many persons walking around that are not yet diagnosed. And that's why we said pre-diabetic. What's the repercussions of having such high sugar values? Tremendous. That high sugar value can affect the eyes. It can affect the kidneys. It can affect the lower limbs. We have too many persons with glaucoma, with conditions of the eye, with the cataract, with kidney failure. They need dialysis, with it affecting their lower limbs. They have toes amputated, limbs amputated. They've now gone from walking around comfortably to being in a wheelchair. And all of this because of this dreadful disease called diabetes. I encourage all, even that 180 milligrams on 180 milligrams per deciliter. You still want to make sure you get it a little bit lower. How can we do it? Can we even do it? Yes, because I've treated a host of patients who, and I will always remember, I had a patient walk in and the first value was 400 and it was Christmas time and I had to challenge her to not have too much of the sweet over Christmas time, and in a 6 to 7 month period, we were able to bring her HbA1c down, bring her sugar values to an acceptable value. She lost a little bit of weight. She stayed consistent with the medication. It is possible. When you talk about, however, not just the sugar, but of course how it affects the whole body, keep in mind that this is typically genetic in nature. So if your parents are diabetic, chances are you becoming diabetic as well is a 50% chance. If both parents are diabetic, now you have a 75% risk. And this is possibly one of the reasons why I pay such close attention, not just to my life, but to my son's life, because both my parents are indeed diabetic. I certainly do not want to have those circumstances, so I make sure I take those active steps. Caller, you were right on the button, and I'm glad you shared this point of view.
You know, I was just thinking, no long ago, we used to have those, you could go in a drugstore, I think you paid 25 cents,
yes,
and you could weigh yourself.
Yes.
Those big things where you could
weigh
yourself.
That's right.
You don't see those anymore.
No.
And that used to sort of make you conscious of your weight.
Exactly.
You know, they need to bring
that's an excellent idea, and I hope all who's listening, because sometimes they even play the program in most of these pharmacies.
Mm.
That's public service.
Yeah.
So please. Now, the caller did ask one more thing about ground provision. I didn't get to address that.
Mm.
Yes. Ground provisions do have a high starch component. So you want to stay away from the ones that have a higher glycemic index, like potatoes. However, cassava, sweet potato, they're better. They're lower in your glycemic index. You want to always balance it out. You're not having cassava three times a day. Keep in mind moderation. Think of the healthy plate. 2/3 of your plate is protein and vegetables, and just 1/3 is that starch. Always keep in mind in moderation.
All right, let's get some questions here. Hi, doctor. Routine blood investigations. My pancreatic marker was 83.15. When repeated 3 months later, it was 41.62. And then 6 months later, 48.39. The normal is 0 to 37. So my pelvic US and CT scan was normal. The doctor said the high result could be alcohol related, but I do drink alcohol moderately, more so during the pandemic lockdown. Can you advise me, please?
Definitely.
Was that the cause of moderate
pancreatitis?
Yeah.
So people don't like to take this advice. Yes, alcohol can damage your pancreas, this very important organ, and it can lead to the elevation of these pancreatic enzymes. So to the caller, to the person who messaged in, I haven't done a full review of you. If the ultrasound did not pick up any tumors, any abnormal growth, then yes, most likely it could be because of alcohol. Alcohol is one of those known things that instantly sends up the pancreatic enzymes.
So stay away from the alcohol a little bit, a little less moderation. All right, good afternoon, doctor. I was at hospital yesterday and the nurse was taking my blood pressure. And the problem I had is the nurse was asking me questions where I had could not answer the nurse and get a proper reading at the time.
So here, remember we talked about white coat hypertension?
Mm-hmm.
That happens because if you're in the zone of having your blood pressure taken and then at the same time there are questions, which also adds a level of stress, then that certainly will elevate the blood pressure. I'm so sorry you had to endure it in that manner. It may be another making any excuses for anyone. They certainly should know better. It may just be they may have had an overwhelm of amount of patients. I've worked in the public health and sometimes we're so short staff when it comes to the amount of nurses to the amount of patients, so that nurse to patient ratio, or you just your healthcare professionals to patients. However, I hope you are now going to monitor at home, check it, take 10 minutes, 5 minutes, sit down comfortably, place your hand perpendicular to the body, and I'm sure you have a meter at home to check your blood pressure. Normal values, we want it under 120 over 80. Hope that answers your question.
All right, once again, folks, the lunchtime doctor, 17 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Call in with your questions at 627-3223 or 625-2257. Doctor, what can be done for melasma on the face?
Mm-hmm. So melasma is something that, again, we don't necessarily see a lot here in Trinidad. You definitely needs to be reviewed by a dermatologist because we want to ensure what is the depth of the melasma. We want to also ensure that it's not becoming infected. It's this condition, to all those who are not sure, where there are either patches or spots on the face. And of course, it can become very much of a discomfort. How do you actually treat it naturally? Hydration. You can even use basic aloe vera gel. You want to keep the area hydrated as possible to just prevent the drying out. Some persons even utilize some of the more natural treatments, as in the turmeric. There is the turmeric type creams and they utilize that onto the skin. And of course, from a nutritional point of view, you can incorporate tomatoes because there's something called lycopenes in there, which is a phenomenal antioxidant for helping that melasmic condition. Hope that answers your question.
Okay. Well, the person is still asking, should I stop drinking altogether?
That's my answer. Yes, on any condition. Mm-hmm. Because we do know what alcohol does to the rest of the body.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm calling and to find out about swelling on your knee. My wife has swelling on her knee now and then. Yeah, so just imagine, you know.
Thank you so much. We see that quite often. Not just the swelling of the knees, but the swelling of the ankles. Now, if it's a single cyst formation on the knee, on one knee versus the other, that is different versus if the both knees are indeed swelling. So here's what we need to get checked as a matter of urgency. You need to get checked the cardiovascular status, blood pressure in particular, cholesterol. You need to also have an idea of what the structure or the pathology of the heart is like, because we want to make sure there isn't any left-sided heart, what we call, a lot of Trinidadians like to say, blockage. We want to ensure there's proper circulation, proper flow, so that there isn't that accumulation of fluid in the lower limbs, in the ankles, or even around the knees. I hope that answers the question. At home, you can reduce the amount of salt in the diet, and of course, as we always give, proper physical therapy, exercise will certainly help.
Welcome. Hello.
Yeah, I'm getting up 6 inches above my navel, and it's moving on my left side and right side. I do all kind of tests, but I ain't getting through with nothing.
I'm so sorry you're experiencing that. Now, I'm not too sure which one the test you did. any sort of abdominal pain definitely needs to be evaluated. There's a host of things we want to rule out. We want to rule out appendicitis. We want to rule out any gut discrepancies. It could be blockage in there. It could be inversion in there. It may even be reflux, as in some sort of gastritis with referred pain. You said you did a whole lot of tests, but if you could message in and let us know, or even call back, let us know what those tests are, then we can have a better idea of what this pain is all about.
Hi, Doc. I'm 59 years old, female. When I go by the doctor, my pressure was 165/80. But when I came home, it read 122/81. Yesterday, I tested it in the evening, and it read 117/89. Is that good or bad? Thank you.
Just as we talked about earlier. So here's what to do. Next time you do go to the doctor, let them know and carry the records. However, you've just identified you do indeed have that phenomenon called white coat hypertension. So if you know that's the case, try to mitigate the factors that would cause it. Is it that you are arriving just on time for the appointment? Is it that you are in the waiting process, building up some form of anxiety? Is there something that you're fearful of or concerned or stressed over? Because when we can go a little bit deeper and identify what is causing that emotional stress, then we ourselves can empower and better manage that blood pressure. Hope that answers the question.
Let's take some calls before we go. Of course, 6273-223. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. Is this Dr. Stephen?
That's right. This is Dr. Mohammed here on Freedom 106.5.
How do you build back up your testosterone level?
Right. So I believe what he asked is, how do we build up the testosterone level?
The testosterone, yeah.
Right. So, just buy proper diet again.
Could I listen to it on the radio, please?
Certainly.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Now, testosterone levels itself does not necessarily just drop like that. So there isn't that need to be concerned that your testosterone level is going to drop arbitrarily. If, of course, like we mentioned, if there's some sort of abnormality, if there's any sort of concern with a testicular cancer, or if there's a condition called hypogonadism, yes, one can present with this lower testosterone. And yes, it will affect the sex drive, it will affect a number of things. A few key foods that will help build our testosterone. Fish, those especially like sardines and salmon, has a high level of vitamin D, zinc, even your omega-3 fatty acids. That is one of the things that we recommend that will indeed, of course, amplify or increase your testosterone levels. Dark leafy greens. So your spinach, excellent source of a specific micronutrient that's called magnesium. And magnesium is one of those micronutrients. It's a mineral that's critical for optimizing those testosterone levels, especially in our elderly male. Another things that I know Trinidadians love, avocado, zabuca, that tends, of course, not always in moderation. There's a trace minerals as well that will help to improve the testosterone metabolism. And then last but not least, your eggs. Just eating, of course, you want to look at more, not the yellow part of the eggs, the whites of the eggs. There can be the utilization of another mineral called selenium, and that will also help improve your testosterone level. So between the fish, the green leafy vegetables, having some protein from eggs, and of course, some of these other micronutrients that we mentioned, your avocados, your the dark leafy greens, you certainly will be covered just by nutrition. Hope that answers the question.
All right, folks. Once again, the Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1. Vibe City 105 and Sky 99.5 FM. Call us up 625-2257 and 627-3223 and the WhatsApp's at 306-1065. Of course, feel free to message our other stations and they will forward your questions to us. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, the doctor. I have I took an order from Mary for kidney stones, but that is not the problem. They saw that I had stones in my bladder, in my gallbladder. What I want to know, do I have to remove them, or I can continue living a normal life with it?
So, quite frankly, because I'm not seeing the ultrasound, or I don't know exactly where in the gallbladder those stones are located, I can't give you a definitive answer on surgery, yes or no. It really depends on the size of the gallbladder stones. It depends on the location, because if it's within the duct, and the duct is like a pipe that connects the gallbladder to the rest of the digestive organs, if it's there, then it's going to block the flow of the normal secretions of the gallbladder. And yes, you certainly will need to engage in surgery. If it's a very small stone and it's one that will pass through the system, no, you will not need surgery. So what does it depend on? It depends on the size of the stone. It depends on where it is and the symptoms you are experiencing. What they tend to do is initially, there's something called conservative management, where if it is you have one episode of acute gallbladder or a cystitis, and that is managed with medications. If you present a second or a third time, then they would lead to surgery. No, most times, the first presentation, it's not usually surgically treated unless there is severe symptoms. Whether you can live with these gallbladder stones, it's not something I would recommend. You want to certainly have that removed, because it is indeed an abnormal thing accumulating in the body. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's get another call here. What's lunchtime, doctor? Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, you're on air.
Could doctor tell me what is her feelings of CDB oil for autism?
Right. Thank you so much for asking that. Now, it's not well researched, so I am not at privilege to give that opinion on the CBD oil for autism. It is better researched for the use in cerebral palsy patients. Here, however, we haven't started giving that as a treatment. So certainly, when it's better researched, then I will be able to give you that opinion.
All right. And as we had that autism question, can we get back into our, health plus, while you were talking autism, I did not even see your facts or myths.
Yes.
And I remember some years ago, Robert De Niro, the actor, he insinuated that vaccines that caused his son, because he noticed a difference in his son after he was vaccinated, and we got autism.
And that's the first thing that is a definite myth. Mm-hmm. That has been debunked so many times. Mm-hmm. Yes, there was a perpetuation of a correlation, and it has been debunked over and over. Yeah. So vaccines does not cause autism. In fact, the safety and the efficacy, as we have seen over the years, overrides that. But another thing I want us to be aware of is that parents tend to think, and this is one of the myths that's debunked in the paper, is that autism is caused by bad parenting.
Yeah.
No, parents, you didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay? Keep that in mind. Research shows that parents experience such guilt when their child has this particular condition. It is indeed a condition of the brain, the cognitive processing of the brain, and it's simply that the children's brain think differently. They operate differently. The synapses, so what we consider, it's a neurodivergent situation. There are other couple myths that we want to make sure that we debunk. And this one is very irritating to my soul, where they think that autistic persons don't have proper competencies to be able to work. This is why it's so important that we get to have a better understanding. Yes, they may be a little more delayed than others in processing things, but there's some things that they are exceptionally good at. And it's so important that we know that it's more so as a processing information. It doesn't mean that those autistic persons don't understand. With the right support, they can have a suitable environment. And autistics can be very able, very independent. You know, we actually have autistic adults walking around that simply were not diagnosed, and they may have been milder on the spectrum. You may find that something's a little odd about the way the person processes information. And yes, they may just be autistic. But let's all, if it's one message today, it's let's all continue to be kind, to be gracious with anyone we encounter, because we really don't know what a person's challenges really are.
Mm-hmm. All right, good advice there, Doc. And hi to all of those parents who have kids with autism. Let's take two more questions here. Good afternoon, doctor. I am on antibiotics, which states no dairy. Does it also mean you cannot eat anything that has a dairy product in it?
Right. So here's what. Here's why. Certain antibiotics, what happens is that the dairy products, it inhibits the absorption, or it slows down that process. So you're not going to get the full benefit of the antibiotic. So that's why if the most antibiotics is just a course, some maybe 7 days, some maybe 2 weeks, if you can stay away from dairy for that time to get the optimal use of the antibiotics, that's what we recommend.
Okay. Good day, doctor. What are the symptoms of a UTI? Is that urinary tract infection?
Yes.
And what tests can be done to diminish it?
Right. So there isn't a test to diminish it per se. The symptoms tend to be there's this sense of urgency to want to go to the washroom. There's a lot of pain on passing urine. You may even see some blood in the urine. There may be lower abdominal pain or a feeling of fullness in that area. Yeah, the test that we tend to do, we can indeed do the urine dipstick. Most times we can diagnose a UTI just by the symptoms, and we go straight into the treatment. Sometimes we need to treat with antibiotics. Sometimes we even need to ensure that your hydration is up to mark. Sometimes we may need to go a step further, because if the UTI has been over a course of time, it can not only affect the urinary tract itself, can also affect the bladder. And that's where we may want to do a urinary function, a kidney function test. So if you're feeling any of these signs and symptoms, just get it checked out, because the thing about a UTI is it can progress and get worse for the patient.
All right, we have just about a couple seconds again, doctor. Yeah, man, time is flying so fast. This is doctor. Thank you very much for your kindly, you know, on your timely asked questions. One last one. What is the best magnesium? Pressure is a bit elevated and for rest.
Right. So that one we will leave for tomorrow because there are quite a few different magnesium tablets on the market. However, I'll add always, as I say, let it be prescribed by your healthcare professional. I think we're just about out of time. I appreciate every single question that each one of our callers and persons who message in send in. I want, however, for you all to remember, don't just listen to the advice. Act on the advice. It may just save a life, and that's yours.
Definitely beautiful, folks. Once again, you've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Sophia Mohammed, here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Sangit 106.1, and Vibe City 105 FM. Join us again tomorrow for another edition at The Lunchtime Doctor at 12 noon. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.